Thank you for this evening. We thank you for watching out for us, for loving us, for protecting us. And Father, you give us more than we ever deserve, and we are so thankful for your kindness and your mercy to us. Father, we come before you this evening and ask that you might guide us as we open up your word. May you teach us and grow us and help us to be people who pray more and more as the days get closer to your return. Father, I pray for these requests, but we will be praying for them later. Father, I pray that you might answer each one according to your will and your perfect way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This evening, we are going to be doing what is my first topical sermon. And so if you want to know how many verses we're going to be looking up, this is just part of them. So if you do me a favor and get your Bibles out and be ready to get going along the way as we go through various places of Scripture, the title of the message is Why Don't All My Prayers Get Answered? And I believe almost everyone has the notes except for, you don't have them. Do you have them? I think that's yours. There you go. If there was ever a man of prayer, it would be a guy by the name of George Mueller. Has anyone ever heard of George Mueller before? He was an evangelist in Bristol, England. He was also the guy who started the Plymouth Brethren Church, if you've heard of that before. And his big thing, though, was he took care of orphans. I mean, that was a big thing that he did there in England. Over the years, he cared for 10,024 orphans, and he provided educational opportunities for those orphans to such a point that the government and the people said, you're educating them too well, they're beyond their status or station in life. He ended up having 117 schools in which he gave Christian education to more than 120,000 people, kids. But here's the kicker. He never charged any of them, and he never asked for any money ever. Can you believe that? It was all through prayer, and God provided. There were stories of times when it got close to the edge, especially in the orphanage. Maybe you've heard some of these stories before. One of those was they were in need of food, and it was either dinner, breakfast, I don't remember what. But as he got the kids together, there was no food. He set them at the table, and he prayed, and he asked God to provide them for the food that they needed. Well, just about that time, he heard a knock on the door, and he got up. They went to the door, and there was the baker. He said, we had a whole bunch of extra bread left over this morning. Would you please take it? And they took it. And then he said, and then there was another knock on the door. And at that knock on the door, it was the milkman who had literally damaged his wagon on the way to dropping off all the milk. And he said, this is going to go bad. Would you please take the milk? They took the milk. God provided. God did that in all sorts of different ways. I've got a story here of when they were in, when there was a big storm that came by. And it messed up the boiler, I think it was. Yeah, the boiler. And so he called in the people to come fix it. And as he did it, he prayed for two things. Number one, that the storm would slow down enough so that when they got there, they can start working on it the way that they needed to. And number two was that they would work and get it done quickly because the kids needed to have heat. Well, it just so happened that during that time that the storm went from blowing one way to blowing the other way, and it was blowing a warm wind so much so they could turn the boiler off completely. And then they started working on it. The boss came by towards the evening, and because he wanted to see how quickly he can get things done. So he went up to the office or the people who were working for him and said, would you do me a favor? Could you come in early in the morning to finish this off? And they said, we would prefer just working through the night and getting it done. Yeah. Stories told of how he's traveling let me just read it once, while crossing the Atlantic on the SS Sardinian in August of 1877, his ship ran into a thick fog. He explained to the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by the following afternoon. But Captain Joseph E. Dutton, later would be known as Holy Joe, said that he was slowing the ship down for safety and Mueller's appointment would have to be missed. Mueller asked if he could use the chart room to pray for the lifting of the fog. The captain followed him down, claiming it would be a waste of time. After Mueller prayed a very simple prayer, the captain started to pray. But Mueller stopped him partly because of the captain's unbelief, but mainly because he believed the prayer had already been answered. Mueller said, "Captain, I have known my Lord more than 50 years, and there's no one instance that I have failed to have an audience with the king. Get up, Captain, for you will find the fog has gone." When they went back to the bridge, they found that the fog had lifted, and Mueller was able to keep his appointment. The captain became a Christian shortly afterwards. One more story of George Mueller and his prayer life. And this one was, it just kind of shows that God answers your prayers all the way, even up until your death. I don't remember exactly who it was, but it was a relative, I believe, and our very close friend. That you look through his daily journals that he had prayed for him every day for years and years and years. And this man never got saved. George Mueller died, and he never got saved. Well, at the funeral, the pastor preached a message on salvation, and that man got saved. There's a phrase that I use that you all use too. God is good all the time and all the time. Yes, he is. But as we share those stories, as we think of the ways that God has answered our prayers, I mean, I'm even thinking of how God provided for this church with the lawnmower thing, the tractor thing. You got to also keep in mind, there are some other verses in Scripture that we need to consider. So I'm going to ask you to turn, ladies, if you turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, and men, if you would turn to Psalm chapter 13. Ladies, Habakkuk chapter 1, and men, Psalm chapter 13. So if you're in Habakkuk chapter 1, could you read verse 2 for us, please? And one of the men, if you would read Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2.
How long, O Lord, forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And every day how sorrow is in my heart. How long will you be my enemy? How long will my enemy triumph?
Can you relate? Can you relate at times when God answers your prayers in miraculous ways? Yeah. Can you relate sometimes when you pray and you pray and you pray and you don't seem to get an answer? Yeah. I think we can. It reminds me of something I heard many years ago. It goes something like this: God is not a vending machine. We can't have the right amount of faith. We can't have $1.25 worth of faith, put it into the machine, and then point out the right verse and whatever and clip in exactly what we want and expect that it just falls out. That's not the way that it works. The relationship that we have with God is a fluid one. It's a relationship between a father and a child. And that's the way that we need to remember. But there's something special about that, and that's where we're going to conclude with all of this, and that is God is always our Father when we pray to Him, and He always, always will be good in the way that He does answer, even when it's silence at times. So, As we consider these unanswered prayers, I've given you these little card things. Yeah, I'm going to let you fill them out. It turns out to be a little bit of a poem. Actually, it's words that rhyme together. I think it'll be helpful for us so that we can remember them along the way. Go something like this. If the request is wrong, God says no. If we are wrong, God says grow. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. And if the request is right, you are right, and the timing is right, God says go. So there we go. We're going to talk about those four things. I'm going to bring up some facts from Scripture, some truths, and then we're going to dig into some verses, and we're going to hopefully get that idea in our hearts, because, you know, sometimes when we're praying for the 100th time about a certain request, and we've all been there, we need to remember these things, all right? So let's start off with the first one. If the request is wrong, God says no. That's right. Here's the truth. Sometimes we ask for the wrong things. Did you know that? How many of you have kids? If you have kids, raise your hand. All right. Has your kids ever come up to you and asked you for something that they shouldn't have asked you for, even they were sincere in their heart about it? Sure. And your response was always, oh, I'll give it to you even though it's terrible for you, right? No. Let's stop and think. What does God call us? God calls us his children. There's significance in that. I guess we could even put it this way. God calls us his sheep. And why does he call us sheep? Because we're about as dumb as sheep, aren't we? So we can do those same things that children do. We can go to our Father in heaven and ask for the wrong things. Well, let me give you a couple examples of some Christians who were strong Christians who asked for the wrong things. First of all, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to be looking at a little story of a guy by the name of Elijah. Elijah was somebody who was a great prophet of the Lord, whom God used in an amazing way. However, that didn't exclude him from asking for some things that were wrong, just like we do. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Which means she's going to kill him. And he just shown great faith and now he's going to, well, verse 3. And he was afraid. And he rose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servant there. Verse 4 is the prayer request he's going to give. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. There's a prayer request. Lord, kill me. That's not something that God wanted. When our prayer request is wrong, when we ask for the wrong thing, God says no. Well, let's take another. Two disciples, James and John. By the way, James and John were called the sons of thunder. They were actually the sons of Zebedee, right? Sons of thunder meant that they had a little bit of, well, a little bit of spitfire in them a little bit. And so let's read about one of those times. So if you turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we'll be looking at verses 51 to 56. It says, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village that was at the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they didn't receive him, because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? You want to know why they're called the sons of thunder? They had a temper. Well, Jesus is going to say, well, they asked of me. I'm going to just give them the desires of their hearts. No, verse 50, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Listen, the strongest Christians in the Bible had plenty of times when they asked for things that were wrong, and we do too. We are just like your children, and we are children too. We are sheep. And when the request is wrong, God says, no. Yeah, we're not there yet. That's the next one. Let me share a quote from Longfellow. Don't quote him very often, but here we go. What discord we should bring into the universe if all of our prayers were answered. Then we would govern the world and not God. And do you think that we should govern it better? It gives me pain to hear that long, wearisome petitions that men asking for what they know not what. Well, there we go. I guess now we need to ask ourselves the question, how can I deal with this? How can I help myself where I don't pray for the wrong things as much as I do now? Thoughts? Okay. How do we help ourselves so that we don't ask for those wrong things as often as we do? Pray that we don't, there's a good thing. I see the waving of, we get the word of God and we put it in our hearts, Psalm 119, that I might not, sin against God. Yeah, the word of God is there. The Bible says that we bring it in so that it will renew our minds. Because there's plenty of things out there that are gathering our attentions that are basically commercials in our own hearts and minds and saying, hey, you want this, you want this, you want this, you want this. But we need the word of God to come deep within us so that it will change the way that we think about things. Oh, that's most definitely something we should do. By the way, as we're going through the word of God, do you know there are things in scripture that God says, I want you to pray about this, using words just like that. I was working with the kids this morning in history class, and we were talking about the Holocaust. And I had the privilege or the sad opportunity to go to Jerusalem's Holocaust Museum. I've been to the one in Washington twice, but the one in Jerusalem is just heart-gripping. And one of the things that was just grabbed you is towards the end, you walk through this one special area where it's got lights everywhere. And once you get through, it has a little sign that says, each one of these lights represents a child who was killed during the Holocaust. You walk into this one place where a great giant ceiling, pictures everywhere, 2.7 million of them, of people who died. 6 million Jews. Yeah. God said, pray for the peace of Israel. Do you know if you go to any of those countries around Israel and you ask for a map, you know what you're not going to see? You're not going to see Israel. They're antagonistic. Now, there are some that are getting a little nicer, like Egypt and Jordan. They're not so bad, but they still don't think that they're the most wonderful thing on earth. They're surrounded. So much so that as you walk around, what you will see is you will see teenagers with machine guns everywhere. Because as soon as they graduate from high school, 2 years of service automatically for every Jewish Israeli citizen. Yeah, it's a rough life out there. Pray for the peace. By the way, when are they going to have peace? And from my opinion, until the Prince of Peace comes. That's the only time, that's when it's going to happen. So I guess we're praying for his kingdom to come. There's lots of places in Scripture that tells us to do that. By the way, one more additional thing I think that we can add to that, because quite frankly, we still, even though we've got the Word of God coming in us, there's going to be plenty of times where we are weak. And so it's always good to pray for God's will. God, I'm coming and I'm bringing this to you, and this is how I look at it, and this is how, and you've asked me to pray about it, but your will be done, not mine. Yeah. If the request is wrong, God says no. All right, I'm only going to get through two of these. I guess we're going to have to finish the rest later on. So the second one is this. If you are wrong, God says, Bill? Never mind. God says, grow. He's looking down at something else. If you're wrong, God says, grow. That's what we talked about a couple weeks, well, last week. We talked about progressive sanctification and how God's working in our lives and how we need to be working along with him and how the Word of God needs to be coming into us as we do that. So let me share with you some truths that kind of go along with this. First truth is this. Sometimes we ask with the wrong motives and have the wrong heart. Did you know that? I took you through on Sunday morning James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10 is one paragraph. It's talking about anger. It says, where does anger come from? Basically, it's this. When we have ruling motive, or when we have ruling desires in our life, when there's something there at any given point that says, I must have this, I need to have this. However, the Bible tells us in verse 3, that we have not because we ask not. And then it says, you ask and you don't have because you ask amiss. Do you know what that word amiss means? Well, let me read it for you in the New American Standard, which would give a little more modern look at the word there. Oh, wait, wrong one. Y'all can talk amongst yourselves while I find James in here. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Sometimes we ask with wrong motives in our hearts. Sometimes we ask when we've got something in charge of our hearts that is ruling at the moment, that if it is ruling, who is not ruling? Yeah. And that's why God says, you adulteresses, you have enmity with me. You love something more than you love me. Yeah. Sometimes we ask with wrong motives. Second thing is, sometimes we ask as refuse to submit to God's word. I'm going to ask several of you to look up some verses for me. Can somebody look up Proverbs 28:9? Somebody, okay, thank you. Somebody look up Proverbs 1, 28 through 30. Thank you. Somebody look up Zechariah 7, 11 through 13. Thank you. 1. While they're turning there, let me just say it again. Sometimes we ask as we refuse to submit to God's word. I've seen some examples of this in counseling. I've had couples in front of me who were fighting, saying that they're gonna that they need to resolve their issues, and I say, listen, one of the basic principles of Scripture is you need to forgive, and one person says, I'm not gonna forgive. I have somebody sitting in front of me who's going through depression, and they say, listen, everything is just going miserable in my life, and I take them to the story of Elijah, and I say, listen, you need to get up, and you need to go to work, and you need to do things, and you need to keep people around you, and they say, well, I'm not going to work tomorrow, I'm going to stay in bed all day, and they wonder why it's not getting any better. Well, here we go. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers
are detestable. Proverbs 1, 28 through 30. 28, okay. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would do none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof.
In Zechariah 7:11 through 13.
Just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear. So they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts.
So there we go. Sometimes when we refuse to submit to God's will, and so what God has told us, God says, I'm not going to listen to your request. Let me give another statement from somebody who I don't quote very often either, and I don't endorse this guy because of this, but good statement, Bill Hybels. Says, if we were honest, we would have to say, oh God, I don't want to face up to my own shortcomings. Please just change them. I don't want to work on this relationship, so just please change it. I don't want to be inconvenienced, so please change it. I don't want to go through the pain and hard work of changing myself, so just change it. Yeah, that's not the way that God works things. That was Bill Hybels. You don't know who he is?
I know who he is.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he's not somebody I endorse, but he's not wrong about everything. Pardon me on the video if you're listening. Truth number three. Sometimes we ask as if we're holding on, as we are holding on to some secret sin. I'm not going to have you turn there because of time. But there's a famous verse that most of us know, and I think I'll ask you to see if you could finish it off for me. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Matthew Henry says this, if I have favorable thoughts of something or I love it and allow myself in it, if I treat it as a friend and bid it welcome, make provisions for it and am loath to part with it, if I roll it under my tongue as a sweet morsel, if I delight in it after the inward man, God says he will not hear my prayer. He will not accept it nor be pleased with it, nor can I expect an answer of peace in it. This is all underneath the title, if we are wrong, God says grow. We've said so far, sometimes we ask with the wrong motives. Sometimes we ask as we refuse to submit to God's word. Sometimes we ask as we're holding on to some secret sin. And sometimes we ask as we are ignoring a broken relationship. I'm not going to have you turn there. 1 Peter 3 talks about husbands and their wives. And it says, husbands, if you are not treating your wife considering her as the weaker vessel and also sharing in the grace of the Lord with her, well, then your prayers will not be answered. Mark chapter 11 says, if you have something that is in you and you've got a broken relationship with another person, he says, before you come to church and give your offering, before you come to church and you worship, you need to first get that right with the other person first. Sometimes we ask when we're ignoring a broken relationship. I mean, we could probably go on for more scripture than even what we've gone on here, but when we are wrong, God cares so much about us that he wants us to grow. He says, listen, before I deal with these things you're praying about, I want you to grow. By the way, do you not see the sweetness of that? Of God caring about you? So much that he would go to lengths to help you to grow in him? Well, I guess we need to ask the question we asked it the first time, how do we deal with this? Well, how do we deal with this in our needing to grow? Any thoughts?
Study,
okay. Anybody else? Simply obey. That sounds like a good... Let me add this, because how many of you, if the Lord said to you today, and I said it to you, don't sin this week. Well, we're all set. Let's go. We're going to mess up, right? I think a major part of our prayers need to be repentance. Repentance needs to be rolling off of our tongues at almost every prayer that we make. Another thing is, Proverbs would say this, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Sin comes from within. That's what Jesus said. So guard your heart. Well, we've only got through the first two, but we've got to pray. So we'll do the next two next week, all right? So let me see if you got it without looking at your notes. Ready? If the request is wrong, God says, and if you are wrong, God says, grow. Very good. We got the first two. Next week, we'll talk about if the timing is wrong, God says, slow. And if the request is right, you are right, and the timing is right, God says, go. All right.